This is Speaking of Anthropology on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. We're back in the studio. We're live. Crazy day. It's been quite a week as well, actually, for Speaking of Anthropology in many ways. This wonderful tag team duo of Dylan McIntyre and Kevin Huo is back in the studio. So, drum roll, please, for all of our listeners out there. Dylan McIntyre, back in the studio.
Yeah, I am back. And normally, you know, I like to start out an episode by saying we are back, you know, because we're back with another new one, right? But especially because we've been kind of dabbling a little bit with doing, you know, playing some reruns here and there, depending on our schedule. But no, this time when we say that we're back, it means literally physically Kevin and I are in the same room together recording an episode live for the first time since December. I think the second week of December 2019 is the last time we sat in this room and recorded an episode together. Excuse me. So it is certainly a long time coming.
December 2019. I can't remember how far back. I mean, what the last discussion we ever had in person, because every other discussion we've had so far has always been, there's always a segment at the beginning where we're catching up. Mm-hmm. But we've literally spent this whole week catching up, adventuring around Fairbanks, enjoying the summer. So there's no need for a catch-up, except today we will still catch up here for all of our listeners to the show. Right? I think something like that.
Well, yeah, because in a way, we are not catching up with each other now, but we're kind of catching up with our listeners, because we have gotten to do some things this week that aren't just fun and entertaining for us, but also actually a few things that do pertain to anthropology in various ways, right? And of course, we do sometimes get a little bit scattered with our show. We try and bring lots of different things under the tent of anthropology and analyze them through those lenses. And so sometimes it maybe seems a little disparate, but you know, once again, we will try and weave a good show under that umbrella for our listeners. For today, it is the 23rd of July, 2021. So yeah,
back in the studio, mm-hmm. That's all I
yeah,
keep
I know.
Thinking about now, sitting here. Yeah, why don't we do a little catch up though? Since we've last spoken, Dylan, you know, what have you been up to? Where are you at? What's going on with your life, be it anthropologically or anything in that. That similarity.
Yeah, where am I at? Well, yeah, as we've established, physically, I am here in Fairbanks. I have been since Monday afternoon now. Spiritually, I don't know. That's a different question. But
nobody really knows.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it's been good. You know, I've mostly been in the in the lead up to my trip here. I had been mostly focusing on that and trying to take care of some other personal stuff, but actually I think I've spent more time thinking and talking about anthropological stuff this week than I have probably since our last show now, which was 2 weeks ago, the interview episode 52, I believe, with Varpu Latvonen, you know. And so, but yeah, this week we have gotten to do a little bit of anthropology too. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit with some of the volunteer work that we were able to do on Wednesday, right? That
for might sure, be. For sure. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of summer activities that we foresee, I think, is always, you know, in the summer, I want to, as a cultural anthropologist, sit down and read, sit down and enjoy, you know, not a cup of coffee or tea, but like an ice cold iced tea. But Dylan and I had a wonderful experience. We want to thank Dr. Justin Cram, you know, and the archaeology department for allowing us to do a small visit out to their Chena town site, mm-hmm. Not too far from here. And of course, our good friend Sherry. Sherry, if you are listening, thank you so much for taking us, because biking there from, let's say, you know, local for Fairbanks area might take a bit while. And as we made a joke consistently throughout this week, Dylan is not here for the Tour de Alaska. He is here to enjoy himself and be on vacation. And so, but yeah, no, we spent the day out there and we got a chance to kind of see the site as well as help out with the site a little bit, mm-hmm. do a little bit of digging per se.
Well, we didn't do the digging, but we helped with them. Some, for example, when we spent a lot of time helping with the screening work and stuff, right? from one of the test pits that Dr. Cram is operating out there right now. And it's, I must say too, for folks who might not be familiar in archaeology, oftentimes you dig a series of smaller test pits. So they're not, you know, these full-sized, massive, you know, when you think of like an excavation on like a Roman villa or something, and you're thinking of like a 20 square foot hole in the ground. This is not that, right? This is a smaller one just to kind of see, okay, what are we talking about here in terms of artifacts? What is their density? You know, is, would this be a place where we could get, you know, good information, whether that be discussing the whole site or trying to determine where at a site to concentrate on? Because ultimately, you know, sites can be, especially like the China town site, right? It would take quite a long time to excavate every single square inch of it, right? A lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of, you know, man hours, personnel hours and stuff, right? And some, you know, they dig these test pits, right, to kind of determine where they want to start concentrating on specifically, as opposed to just like, well, let's hope that we just keep digging and eventually if we just dig up enough square footage, we'll find something, that, you know. And so, but this test pit in particular was, you know, it's it seems like they will have a lot of good work coming in the future, which I'm excited about because, as we've mentioned on the show before, I was out there 7 years ago with ASRA, right? The I think Alaska Summer Research Academy. When I was technically I was a freshman in high school, but I was ascending, right? So it was, that was before I'd even started my freshman year in high school. It was like I was 14, you know, and I got to go out there, right, and go to the Qin town site. And that was actually, you know, the first time I learned about the town site and stuff, right? Because, you know, growing up in Fairbanks, they talk a lot about the history of the town and stuff, you know, E.T. Barnett, Felix Pedroni, right, you know, Judge Wickersham, all the good stuff, you know, and then, well, you know, variably maybe, but, you know, all the sort of the classic Fairbanks history and stuff. But I never really remember, you know, like being in elementary school and learning about Chinatown site. Maybe it was mentioned. I kind of doubt it. I don't know. But, you know, so getting to learn about that. And then I'm glad that, you know, there's more work being done out there, right? And that, you know, it hopefully, you know, it will be something that is able to continue and to shed new light on the history of Fairbanks through looking at this original sort of sister city to Fairbanks, right? And it, I mean, sister city is a nice way of putting it. Originally, they were rivals, right? And China actually was the more successful one for a bit there because it was better positioned from an economic standpoint. But then, you know, as Dr. Cram has talked about before, there were some political machinations and stuff that kind of changed the balance of power there, you know. But, like, yeah, it's I think, an aspect of Fairbanks' history that definitely can do with more work. And they are, you know, Dr. Cram had the field school out there from, you know, the 6 weeks from
May 17th to June 25th.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kevin. You know, and so it's definitely, I know Dr. Cram is very enthusiastic about continuing to do work there. And it seems like there's a lot of interest from archaeologists here at UAF to continue doing work out there, and archaeologists, you know, in folks interested in history and stuff from, you know, the whole borough are very interested in the project there now. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about that, and I thought it was a wonderful experience for us to get our fingers back in the dirt, so to speak, right, picking out artifacts and stuff, you know. So
yeah, as graduates of the anthropology program, I think it's always so exciting and so rewarding to be able to revisit a town site or revisit an excavation site and kind of see, you know, it was kind of full circle in some ways for you, Dylan, thinking about it, you know, as a high school student going out there and then coming back now, having graduated from the UAF program, mm-hmm. and now onto your master's program and seeing, you know, the roots of your enjoyment and joy and passion for that it was kind of surreal. It's this whole week's been surreal, I will say. But yeah, the town site, I think field school, if anyone's interested, it's always available, and they may hopefully do it next year. But more information, just contact the anthropology department here at UAF for more you know, inquiries about it. But a super cool opportunity. We've had many conversations here on Speaking of Anthropology be it with faculty or students, about field school experiences. Even the music that we play while we're at field school, and you know, along with having Dr. Justin Cram here on our show, you know, not too long ago as well. And so it's super cool. I will make a quick note. I think yesterday we also had a really interesting moment where both Dylan and I were out with a pal. We went camping, and we're on our way back, and we hear the KUAC broadcast about the town site, and we had literally been out there the day before. And so maybe it's coincidental and all that, but you know, the town site experience and everything else that we've been doing this week kind of led up perfectly to today's show here on Friday. Just making, you know, speaking of anthropology that much more important. But you know, I kind of wanted to revisit, you know, maybe if you can think back on, we've talked about the foundations and the formation of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to also, I know I didn't let you fully address what you were fully up to recently, but you know, I think today's show would be fun and interesting to kind of revisit some of these highlights of like how we got here and how we got this show in reflection a year and a half later, right? 2 years, mm-hmm. almost, actually. We're coming on 2.5 years on this show.
Well, not 2.5, but it'll be 2 years at the end of September. I think it was the second week of September was our first airtime. So, yeah, that makes us, what, about a year and 10 months into this whole project now? So it's definitely, you know, it's it's been a minute now. We are not the fledgling, you know, anthropologists who are like, hey, wait, we could do something on radio. Wouldn't that be swell? You know, like
radio. I mean, I can go and chat with a pal and try to understand what I'm reading in class. Which makes a side note. We talked with Sherry the other day, and today's to the listeners, today's going to be there's going to be a lot of tangents, but that's okay. Feel free to jump in with tangents anytime, Dylan. I think the other day, Sherry, myself, and Dylan, we were chatting and we're talking about how. You know, and to any of the faculty listening, we apologize. It's not that we're not reading, but we are reading. But then we get to class, and then, you know, the lectures go beyond the reading. And, of course, that's what the whole concept of doing a reading before you get to class. But then the discussion itself can be so, you know, expansive, and so many questions arise after the discussion that you wonder if the reading even meant anything.
No, I mean,
but it's like a mix of feelings of you prepare your readings, then you conduct, you know, the class, and then you leave. And then now you're like sitting in your room, you're about to read the next reading or write a paper, and you sit down, and you have to draft a paragraph, two paragraphs, three paragraphs to the professor in response. But no, that's just a common experience. I think we all resonated on of having to do that.
I think, no, the readings definitely, you know, they matter, but it's usually they cannot encompass everything, and especially depending on the material, right? You can't just master it or even sometimes fully grasp it just by reading it. And it always depends, because some things, you know, are easier for some people to grasp than other people. So, you know, if we each do, like, say, 4 readings through a semester, you know, there might be the one that you found really easy is probably not necessarily going to be the one I found easy. The one that you found hard might not necessarily be the one I found hard. Sometimes they can line up, but, you know, especially the farther along in a program you get, for example, in a master's program, when people are coming from such diverse backgrounds, but they, you know, already have that basis in some type of undergraduate education. Plenty of folks maybe then took a break and went out and did other things. And so, you know, when folks are bringing such a diverse skill set, right, the kind of comprehension and the what is challenging, what is not, is going to be kind of variable, right? And, you know, we all bring our own perspectives, and that's both the strength of, you know, our field, and of, I think it can be a strength of academia if properly utilized, you know, and that sort of thing, is these sorts of diverse perspectives, right? But yeah, you know, it's definitely hard though. And I mean, I remember we've talked about this with when we did episode 42 with Brooke, which I have not listened to recently for anything at all. Maybe the listeners will find out about that a couple months from now, but we'll see. You know, but that, and with that, we talked about, you know, I mean, I remember bringing up in that episode that you do certain readings and you just got to sit with them for a while. And it's a problem when you have to read and then write about it immediately, right? Because it's like, okay, I don't actually know entirely what the argument is here, or maybe I, you know, I don't fully appreciate its nuances, and so I'm not sure about writing about it quite yet, because I don't want to misrepresent it, right? I don't want to do a disservice to this, you know, because I, you know, just because I am ignorant of maybe the full complexities of it. And so it, sometimes you do a reading and then you're like, okay, I'm just going to have to mull that one over for a bit and really try and digest it. And maybe, you know, go back and read it again, or, you know, highlight stuff and you know, see and slowly break it down maybe, which again can be difficult to do when we're living, you know, in a semester bounded life, right? Where between, you know, say August and December or September and December, you know, you are, everything has to be done between then, right? For all your classes and stuff basically, and then week by week, and it's like, okay, I have to do this reading today because I have to submit a paper on it 2 days from now, right? And so, you know, the time that you might have can be not maybe as much as you would want. But, you know, that's also, in a way, it's and I'm teaching another important skill from a lot of, you know, for life in general, right, of being able to break things down quickly and be able to write and work and think quickly, because yes, it can be nice to have the luxury of time, but unfortunately you don't always have that luxury either, in outside even of programs and stuff, you know, depending on what you're doing. So yeah, it's definitely it can be tricky, that's for sure.
A constant work in progress. I absolutely think that's kind of where we were, I think, getting at a little bit with you know, how things are going. But I generally find, yeah, that experience to be. But, you know, let's pull it back to, I'm sorry, you know, got sidetracked again there. But, you know, what have you been up to, and, you know, what are you planning to do in the fall? I know we've talked a little bit about it, but there's some big moves coming up for Dylan and, you know, myself. But what's Dylan, fall, what's... what's next after summer ends, which is so soon? Wow, summer passed so quickly.
We've still got a little bit. We got August left. You all still have the fair up here, too. I'm not going to be here for that, unfortunately. But, no, I mean, obviously, what fall brings, as everybody knows, is football season, and that's all that matters.
That's true. Well, are we talking American football, or?
I'm talking American football. Oh, go, okay. Vikings. No. But no, for
soccer's
me,
soccer's starting soon too, as well.
Well, yeah. I like the Bundesliga, but yeah, I don't care about Germany. I'm fine with, but the other leagues, whatever. But no. On a serious note, yeah, I will be moving to New York in August to, you know, continue my studies and continue my program there and stuff. And so that's kind of the big thing, right, is finally, you know, being able to move and kind of get back on track, right? Because, you know, the whole kind of nonsense that everybody knows is going on that I won't necessarily name right now, taking a Kabbalistic interpretation of the power of naming, you know, it's kind of derailed a lot of things, right? And so, you know, I will just finally be able to move to New York and then kind of go out from there. And I'm really excited. Obviously, I'm really excited to resume my program. I mean, I took, as listeners may know, I took a break from it from spring. But I'm one of those people who's taken that break and then now said, okay, no, I do think this is the right decision for me. This is something I very much enjoy. And so I'm looking forward to getting back to my degree program. I'm working on it, you know, for all the stress, for all the difficulty, for all the long nights studying and reading and writing. I do enjoy it. I do. And so I'm looking forward to going back. But I'm also really looking forward to getting to learn New York City, right? Because that is not...
The Big Apple. Just want to say that real quick.
Well, that's, you know, New York City, I grew up on Badger Road, right? And New York City is a far cry from Badger Road.
Badger Road in North Pole, or Badger Road in
North Pole. Yeah. But it's, you know, for folks who don't know, I imagine most listeners in Fairbanks do know, you know, but it, Badger Road is, you know, it's in between Fairbanks and North Pole, you know, along the back gate of Wainwright, right? And so, you know, that's where I grew up. That's where I lived for, you know, most of the 15 years that I was living in Fairbanks, growing up in Fairbanks, you know. And so it's going to New York City is going to be, you know, a bit different from that and from, you know, from living here in Fairbanks and, you know, the great land of Alaska, right? But I'm excited for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to it for sure. But as you mentioned, I'm not the only one with fall plans. So I don't know what you want to discuss, but I'm curious, you know, how that is going for you with your fall planning.
Yeah. So, you know, what we mentioned earlier, the thing that we don't mention these days is what's going on in the world. But, you know, we all recognize it. And I think, you know, to a lot of our listeners, a lot of folks are struggling out there, and we encourage you stay strong and keep pushing. But yeah, fall plans is never easy to move from season to season and figure out what you're going to do, where you're going to live.
You know, no pressure.
No pressure at all. And these are essentials and all that. But I think it's always a good time as well to reflect a bit on what you have done and what you will do. So I myself, I'll be here in Fairbanks, continuing to live and learn, you know, at this institution here at UAF. But I will be serving as an Alaskan Fellows, as an Innovation Fellow for the UAF Alaska Center ICE, which is, they do a lot of startup innovation, commercialization, and entrepreneurship. Quite a tongue twister, but a lot of things, a lot of great things, focusing on kind of, you know, bringing new innovative technologies and ideas to Alaska, across Alaska, and giving folks an opportunity. So hopefully that will be an interesting experience. I think as a anthropologist and as a political scientist, I can officially now say that because I am a graduate, but bringing those, bringing those together, you know, it took me a year longer, Dylan, than you, but bringing these.
You started a year after than I did, though, exactly. So you weren't behind at all, man.
But bringing these things two together, and bringing my skills and capabilities to a fellowship, I think, is a really rewarding and exciting experience. And so, for a lot of folks who are out there, those who are interested, that is also an option. You know, I think a lot of people are set on, you know, a job, a career. But there's always, you know, fellowships, internships, and really fantastic opportunities for folks to kind of give back to the community and but also work and learn and at the same time. So, that's some encouragement. I know, you know, a lot of anthropology majors, once they graduate, you know, generally the traditional route is kind of, you know, you finish your undergraduate and then you kind of continue your studies and then go find a field site and then, you know, pursue higher education one after another. And, you know, for different reasons, it's always good to, I think, diversify and find what you're interested in. And so that's I took the more alternative route. And I think it'll be unique, but I'll still be here. Listen to the listeners. Dylan will be here spiritually, but he'll be from somewhere else in the world. Maybe hopefully out at a site where he's doing his research as well.
See about that. But more importantly, I think for the listeners, I'll be here virtually.
Exactly. And,
you know, the spiritual thing. Yeah.
Spiritual. That's why I say spiritual. Well, not virtual.
But I don't. You know, I think the virtual helps us record the shows a little more than my general sense of feeling. You know, at home here in the station, even though I haven't been here, you know, since March of 2020 was the last, I think, time I was here, maybe February of 2020. It's been a while since I've been able to sit here in the station too. Mm-hmm. So
So I mean, beyond that, I think you know, to a lot of the listeners, Speaking of Anthropology is a show that we hope to continue more and more and in different formats and platforms wherever we are, and we're always trying to get guests on the show. So you know, I know we have a few lined up as well, hopefully down the road. But to any of the listeners who may be interested in the show, you know, check us out on different platforms. We have a website as well as some social media here and there. So Speaking of Anthropology is the way to go. Why don't we look towards potentially playing some music, Dylan, for some of our listeners, because we're in person. Why not play some in-person music?
Yeah. But well, so what is the first one that you have lined up then?
Oh yeah, so there's a song that I've just been listening to recently that I thought was funny, that just plays in line with kind of what I thought society meant. It's a pessimistic view on it, but hey, you know, let's listen to it. It's by Valley, kind of an indie band, and the song is Society. This is Speaking of Anthropology on KSUA 91.5. FM Fairbanks. We're back in the studio. We're back live. We're rolling and we're rocking.
Really?
I just had to say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of mediating. Yeah, okay. You know, a quick note, you know, so we have many listeners, and one listener just wants to congratulate you, Dylan, on your big move coming up to the Big Apple. You will move on to see the hustle and bustle in the city, and then Kevin will continue to be here, working here in the Arctic North, keeping that connection alive. You know, be it through the radio station, or be it through this show, or be it through the Anthropology Society, the Anthropology Department, all of that, and then, or maybe just like that one, you know, research project we did together. I don't know. I'm spitballing here, but. Let's talk about the music that we were just listening to. Unique selection, I think. Maybe I'll quickly go with mine.
Yeah, I want to hear it, because
Society. The lyrics, I'm sure if you listen, it's super clear. You can understand what they're saying. I won't have to go in depth more, but you know, it was just so funny to hear how they were kind of talking a little bit, reflecting on what society means to them. The Valley, which is this band. And they're just, of course, making commentary on how, you know, how rough the world has been and how things have been going and the development and, you know, of different movements and thoughts. And so things can be tough, and it can, as society sucks, as the line says. I don't know. It's just a catchy song, fun to listen to. Maybe it's just me still, you know, really, really fresh off of the KSUA Music Fest, but I'm kind of into like bands now. Like I just, the live music, having a drum set, having a guitarist, a bass player, and then a vocalist, it just brings the whole genre of music together. And why not in that song? So, but I think we also then had two other songs from Dylan from the selection, which is really interesting. I think this also is indicative. If you think about it, Dylan.
Okay, I'm thinking about it.
Throughout the history so far, speaking of anthropology, the music that we played has really changed. And that literally within a year and a half, our genre of music has changed like so many times. But let's talk about this song, and then we'll go into that a little more.
Yeah, maybe, because I have some thoughts on that. Well, so I played two songs. The first is Qu'on ferait toujours camarade by Mireille Mathieu. Now, I don't speak French, je ne parle non français, so, you know, excuse my pronunciation, but...
It sounds like you can speak a little bit.
I learned how to say I can't speak French, because that comes in handy, but, that one is actually an interesting song. I mean, I enjoyed just listening to it, because I think, you know, it's you know, just kind of a fun song to listen to, but actually, lyrically, I ended up picking two songs that kind of are like stories in very small nutshells, right? Because that one is actually focused. It's basically just a little thumbnail sketch of the October Revolution, right? Because it's, some of the lyrics are referencing the cruiser Aurora, right? And so that fired the first shot during the, supposedly fired the first shot on the Winter Palace, which triggered the October Revolution in Petrograd, modern day St. Petersburg, right? And so, you know, even the title of the song, right? When will the day come? It's like, okay, when is this revolution going to happen? When's it going to come? You know, I'm referencing Gavroche. So this Gavroche, it's derived from it's a character in a Victor Hugo novel, I think. But it's basically like sort of the, you know, lower class proletariat, every man. But like, you know, so it's asking like, when's the revolution come? When is all this, you know, stuff going to happen? When's it going to be the day? And then it ends with, you know, the cruiser firing the shot, right? And the shot is also revolution, right? And so I, you know, just kind of that story, I like it's a fun little thing to dig into, especially when you have to do it by not speaking French. And so then you're like, okay, so I heard it and I was like, okay, what is this song about? And then it's like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. And then the second one I picked is actually The Veldt, right? So that's from Deadmau5 and Chris James, and it's, you know, it's a techno song. So I have good musical juxtaposition going there. But it's actually also a story in a nutshell, because some listeners might recognize, depending. But The Veldt is it's a Ray Bradbury short story, right, about this family where the children are basically now being raised by technology, right, by what we would call now a smart home system, right, of, you know, nanny robots and automated, you know, caretakers and stuff. And, you know, I don't want to spoil the ending of the story, but, you know, the parents grow increasingly concerned about the role of technology in raising their children, right? And, you know, how their children no longer really like the parents who want to deal with them, and they just want to spend all their time playing with the computers and, like, these sort of fantastic lands, almost kind of like the holodeck, you know, in Star Trek or something, right? And sort of just like playing in these virtual worlds and stuff and never wanting to, you know, deal with the physical world anymore, right? And so, but, you know, Deadmau5 and Chris James then sort of took that and just took a few of the elements from that and made a song about it. And actually there's a longer version. The version I like is the 8-minute one, but we played the 2-minute and 50-second one here. But just, you know, I wanted today, for whatever reason, I just felt in the mood to pick two songs that both kind of had stories in them, you know? And I think that kind of goes back to the point that you were making earlier, right? Where you were talking about how our music tastes have changed, or in what, at least what we're playing. And I don't know that it's necessarily the tastes themselves have changed, because I think a lot of what I played on the radio a year and a half ago, I still listen to. But more so, I think it's that I, at least, have grown more comfortable and, you know, in being like, yeah, you know what, I want to play two kind of, you know, songs that are maybe thematically linked or, like, conceptually linked in what they're trying to do that are a little disparate, right? You know, so I will put, you know, this French song by, one of the greatest French singers of the 20th century, Mireille Mathieu, right next to a techno song by Deadmau5, right? And I'm a little more comfortable doing that now than maybe I was a year ago, where it was like, oh, I don't know what I want to play on the radio. That's, you know, I want to find something that's, you know, that'll just be, like, generically appreciable to everybody. But I think getting to maybe the broader point of, like, KSUA, right, is that KSUA plays all sorts of interesting stuff that's, the whole point is that it's supposed to, you know, be maybe a little experimental, you know, folks having fun and you know, listeners having fun listening to what would maybe be deemed an eclectic sort of sampling of songs and stuff, right? And so, you know, the more that we've been doing this show, the more that I've been having to pick songs to play on the radio, I think the more comfortable I've got being able to say, you know what, I'm going to do just a little conceptual pairing today. And then, you know, also the real secret I'll tell the listeners is that it helps, because then we can spend 5-10 minutes talking about it after we play on air, right? You know, and because we do, these are genuine thought processes we have, but then we can talk about it, you know, and hopefully, you know, that, you know, we can have it spark, you know, some good thoughts. I mean, interesting observations both in ourselves about why we are listening and why we are connecting the music we're, and in the listeners, you know, who maybe are going to start to think, you know, maybe we'll think in a little different way about the music that they like to pair or something, you know. So yeah,
well, what is, you know, I think a lot of the times folks are always like, what are your music recommendations, you know, this is a radio station, right? So what are you listening to? And so I think that's perfect. I mean, you line one thing after another, and it sounds great, and it sounds good. I think to our listeners, you know, Dylan and I, by the way, do not have a script today. So, like, you know, we really...
That might be obvious. I don't know.
we kind of, you know, enjoy the time and discussion. You know, it's... you know, I think a lot about, you know, and this is, I'm going to now say, you know, during COVID times, we talked a lot about reflecting on, you know, when you're in a Zoom class, you don't get that hallway discussion. And mm-hmm. this show has kind of like been the, you know, the quintessential experience of that, bringing together students, faculty, staff to a show. And then also, of course, then just two anthropology graduates, two anthropology students who've continued to just be interested, be curious about what anthropology is. You know, I think that's kind of, you know, I can't recall. I think one of us probably, you know, initially was thinking about, you know, describing the show as a riveting discussion. It is, but it can also be a humorous show because we literally just talk about anything. And so one big thing that I do say is, you know, we always ask at the end of the show, right? What is anthropology?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I think that's like the easiest way to get good content. It's just like ask, you know, what is, you know, and then that triggers a whole conversation. But thinking about having it at the end of the show, it just, you know, allows the person to kind of reflect on what they've been talking about. And maybe that's something I was hoping that we could at least chat a little bit about too, mm-hmm. as well as what do we think our definition of anthropology is now, you know, after so many shows, after so many courses, after, you know, receiving mm-hmm. a diploma and now moving on to further studies. You know, I personally find myself often realizing that anthropology itself is such a dynamic field
mm-hmm.
that I just can't grasp, you know, what it has and contains. You know, be it the geography of a place that you're studying, be it the people that you're studying, be it the experiences that you'll have in your personal life that'll influence your behavior and understanding. Again, that's a very general understanding of what anthropology is. And then, of course, you know, we've had plenty, you know, on our 50th show, we kind of, you know, celebrated the definitions of every single guest that we've had on the show so far. And being able to kind of think back on that as well as to, you know, where and how far we've come, I think it's super cool to think about anthropology in light of what's been happening in the world, too, and how important it is. I feel like maybe, of course, it, you know, just like on all of our, in all of ourselves, we have this like priority list of things, right? We have, you know, sleep, eat, and then anthropology for us, at least. And, you know, sleep, eat, wake up, anthropology, go to sleep. Yes, just repeat the cycle. But, you know, I think about, you know, how the significance of anthropology has also risen in the past few years. I remember being an undergrad, a freshman year coming in, and a lot of, you know, students around me and a lot of my peers not knowing what anthropology is. And the significance now of, you know, when I say anthropology, they know what we're talking about without needing to explain. That it's not a clothing store, or as Brooke said, it's not, or somebody told her it's not the study of spiders.
Yeah,
that was funny to me. Or, you know, anything else? Is it the study of what's an anthropod? Or, you know, there's so many definitions out there. And then I think a lot of faculty themselves getting a chance to know them through the years and realize that, you know, the genre of anthropology, the passion, the study of it is also very basic because it's based on your life choices and your life interests. You know, whatever you currently are doing can be studied, can be understood, can be better fleshed out into a, you know, more comprehensive literature piece or whatever, a discussion, a lecture, where you can share with others. And so, you know, maybe this is me trying to, you know, bring up the fact that anthropology is really, really interesting. But we're all diplomats in some way of the field of anthropology, wherever we go.
Ambassadors for it.
Exactly. We're shaking hands, we're making decisions, we're befriending folks, we're learning about their cultures, we're respecting their cultures and understanding that. And so all of that intertwined together, I feel, makes anthropology unique. But that's my definition. I know I went on a really long discussion there, but I think trying to cover, you know, why is anthropology unique to us now,
mm-hmm.
more so than it was when we were freshmen, or maybe when Dylan was out at the Chinatown site swatting mosquitoes. D- excavating and doing surveying and doing, you know, really, really dynamic on the ground work. But now he's a full-time anthropologist. What does that mean now, right?
Well, yeah, and I think, too, something that you brought up before, right, is that it's hard necessarily to get at everything that falls within anthropology. And so to borrow kind of the description of the culture from Ian M. Banks's science fiction series, you know, anthropology, much like the culture, is fuzzy at the edges, right? It doesn't necessarily, you know, you can say, well, you know, within anthropology, there's the four fields, right, that we've talked about before. Biological anthropology, linguistic anthropology, archaeology, and cultural anthropology. And it's like, okay, sure, you can break that down. But first of all, sometimes the divisions within those fields are a little, you know, like, for example, within biological anthropology, you have, the focus on human evolution, right? But there's also a bit of an overlap with archaeology there, right? Because, you know, those sorts of dig sites are archaeological dig sites, right? And so, you know, even anthropology within itself is very collaborative. And then, of course, you have, as we've talked about before, the ethnodisciplines kind of highlight that, right? So, for example, you have various things we've talked about on the show before, like ethnobotany, ethnomusicology, these sorts of things, right? And again, those are kind of straddling different worlds because they're not really like subfields of anthropology, right? I don't necessarily think you could argue that far. You could, as a cultural anthropologist, study ethnomusicology, right? But you, if you're going to do that, you're also going to be interfacing, you know, with folks who primarily study music, right? And, you know, and obviously with ethnomusicology, you're going to be learning from people in different cultures about their musical traditions and stuff. And, you know, how they do notation, what they consider, you know, to be music in the first place and that sort of thing, right? And so, you know, it is, you are doing, for example, in that case, you are doing cultural anthropology, but you are also doing music studies with that, right? And so it's not, I think it would be maybe not a prudent move to try and just say, well, obviously that's entirely within anthropology and it's just completely, you know, not interfacing with anything else. And that, again, is also something we've talked about before, right, of the sort of interdisciplinary nature, right? And so of a lot of anthropology these days, especially, you know, and so, again, that's come up with other things like GeoArc, too, which we've talked about in a few different episodes now, right? And so, you know, you're bringing geology and archaeology together. So, yeah, you know, if you're approaching it from an archaeological perspective, you're doing it as part of anthropology and, you know, as an archaeologist, but not everything that you're doing is exclusive to anthropology, right? It is these, you know, you're doing geology in ethnobotany, you're doing both botanical work and anthropological work, you know, and so it does get fuzzy around the edges because you are interfacing with other fields as well. But I think that that's good, obviously, as we've both said before, as you know, I don't think we've had a guest on yet who didn't like, you know, interdisciplinary work like that, right? Or at least the idea of interfacing with other fields and stuff, right? You know, it's good. So yeah, you know, anthropology, it can get a little fuzzy around the edges because we are not, you know, a field of discipline that exists in a vacuum independent of the other scientific pursuits, you know, or the other humanities, right? We are embedded within, you know, just as individuals are embedded within this wider network of their cultures and their societies, anthropology as a discipline is embedded within this wider web of the sciences, right? And, you know, so we are going to be interfacing with the geologists, the botanists, musicians and music studies, you know, historians, hydrologists, you know, you could basically any field that you can think of, right? You can interface with anthropology in that. And so, you know, that is one of the strengths. But I guess to kind of return maybe to your original point of what our definitions are, I still think, you know, that mine is, I would have to go back and listen to it. And then maybe I'm changing the verbiage or something here and there, but, or the, you know, the wording. But I still think basically of anthropology as, you know, it's the lens by which we can study humans, right? You know, and their culture, their society, physical variation, past and present, you know, And so when you're talking about, right, you sleep, you eat, you do anthropology, it's like, well, sure. But when you're eating, you're still doing anthropology. You know, sleeping, I mean, when you're asleep, I mean, sometimes I've come up with the answers to papers and stuff while I've been asleep. So maybe
you dream. I mean,
yeah, yeah. So, you know, even then sometimes. But also, if you want to break it down into, if you want to consider part of sleeping as, you know, like getting into bed or something, you know, brushing your teeth, all that kind of stuff that you do to get ready for bed, you can also obviously analyze all that. Everything can be analyzed in anthropology because, you know, sleep patterns and stuff are obviously can be something based on an individual, but a lot of those, obviously all the customs, but a lot of even the sleep patterns and stuff are all, you know, that's all like culturally contextual, right? And, you know, the way that people, when people go to bed, what they sleep on, how they sleep, you know, how, what that system is, you know, is going to vary in different societies. And same thing, obviously, with eating. I think eating is one of the most clear-cut things to anybody, you know, anthropologist or not. I think basically everybody can recognize that food is such a culturally variable thing, you know, and the process of eating is, right? And so, yeah, you know, you can sleep, eat, do anthropology, but also it's like anthropology can be kind of the superstructure within which we're sleeping, we're eating, we're doing everything else, because, you know, you stop to think, why are we doing it like this, or why don't we do it, you know, this way, or, you know, like those sorts of questions, right? Why is this allowed and this is just something that doesn't happen? So, you know, it's pervasive all throughout the day, you know.
Anthropology is constantly a revolving door that allows you to open up and find a new adventure just beyond. You know, I think just to revisit also a personal reflection, I remember when I was an undergrad, and that wasn't too long ago, but yeah, I remember, you know, coming to Fairbanks, Alaska, and you know, profound interest in the field of anthropology, as well as political science for me personally. But I remember embarking on, you know, a minor in, briefly, in wildlife, you know, biology, and just being captivated by the landscape around us. And I find, you know, to be the well-rounded individual, the well-rounded student, it takes a bit of work. And maybe anthropology is just that difficult, but being able to find a good balance between all of that is often a tough role. But, you know, one thing that I've come to realize through the years is that, you know, maybe it just, maybe you can't really read all the anthropology books. Maybe you can't listen to all the anthropology podcasts. Maybe you can't do all of the internship or all the field work or coursework that you can possibly do. But what you can do is, you know, turn on Speaking of Anthropology and listen to us, but also, you know, be selective, of course. But you can, you know, meet wonderful people and have wonderful discussions and learn from them, as I have learned from you, Dylan.
As I've heard from you.
Through the years. And I think, you know, that's why we also initially wanted to bring people in. Maybe it might have been a very selfish belief of, like, you know, if I have a radio show, if I have guests on, my GPA will go become higher. Maybe that's what it was, and it did work. So I never mean, thought that. You know, I'm just reflecting. Maybe that.
Yeah, no,
you know, we ended up fine. You know, and academically, and so maybe it is just opening yourself up to learning and experiencing, and, you know, thinking about how busy we are currently already. And, you know, we apologize to our listeners. Sometimes we, you know, Dylan and I just can't get around, so we do reruns. But, you know, creating new shows and new discussions and interviews, it's second nature for us now. It's pretty cool to be able to have you back here in Fairbanks, though, for sure, Dylan. I mean, 100%. Like, whoa, it's surreal. It's out of this world. And to the listeners, I'm sure you're probably like, what? His audio quality sounds really, really good here today. Like, even better, you know?
I hope. I mean, I do put a fair amount of work into the audio quality when I'm, you know, down in the Pacific Northwest, and I'll try, you know, when I'm in New York and stuff. But yeah, you know, it's been nice, you know, to return to form live in the studio here on Speaking of Anthropology on KSUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks. But, you know, I think that about wraps us up for this. This was our 53rd episode, so I know we've talked about, you know, we keep missing some, but more, you know, still more often than not, we've had 53 episodes now. So 53rd episode for the 23rd of July 2021, and the first live in-person one together since December of 2019, so I'm pretty happy.
Dylan is back in the studio, guys. That's a wrap on today's show. I'm going to give a quick round of applause. Dylan, welcome back to Fairbanks. Hope your stay here has been well. It's been definitely really busy, and I apologize. I know you're tired, and I'm tired as well, but you know, that's what's great about bringing together two anthropologists and two people hosting a radio show. So to all the listeners, tune in every Friday, 11 to noon. Mm-hmm. We're here on KCUA 91.5 FM Fairbanks, as well as online at our website. Go ahead and just search Speaking of Anthropology Online. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Twitter and Facebook. Follow our show, and hope to hear you soon. Dylan, enjoy your week, yeah?
Thanks, you too.